So today we are very fortunate that we are having His Grace Braj Priya Prabhuji. He is a brahmachari at ISKCON Chowpatty. So
today's class is given by Naveen Krishna Prabhuji. That is for tomorrow. Sorry.
Oh, okay, Mataji. Sorry for. Actually, I thought like Prabhuji, you messaged. Sorry, Mataji. So today's class will be given by His Grace Naveen Krishna Prabhuji. So Prabhuji, are you present on the call?
Hare Krishna, please accept my humble wishes to Abhishek Prabhupada, all gifts to Guru Maharaj, all gifts to all the assembled devotees. Hare Bol.
Hare Krishna, Prabhu, please accept.
Sorry, I'm a bit late. I just came from the temple.
It's okay, Prabhuji. Now you can take over the call. Thank you so much, Prabhuji. Hare
Krishna. So the verse today is text 31, verse 11, right?
Yes, Prabhuji.
Chapter 32, text 11, right? Yeah. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Om namo bhagavate vasudevaya. Narayana namaskritam naram cheva narotamam. Devim sarasati vyasam tato jaya mudiret. Nashpreshu badreshu nittam bhagavate sevaya. Bhagavate Uttam Shloke Bhakti Bhutane Shtiki. Reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, third canto, chapter 32, and text is 11. The chapter is entitled as Entanglement in Fruitive Activities. So, I'm going to read the verse. Atha tam sarva bhutanam hiratpadmeshu kirtalayam shutanu bhavam sharahanam vraja bhavena bhamini. Word by word translation. Atha, therefore, tam, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, sarva bhutanam, of all living entities, hirit padmeshu, in the lotus hearts, krita alayam, residing, shruta anubhavam, whose glories you have heard, sharanam, unto the shelter, vraja, go, bhavena, by devotional service, bhamini, my dear mother. Translation and purport by his confound acharya, his divine grace, Srila Prabhupada. Therefore, my dear mother, my devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. I repeat, therefore, my dear mother, by devotional service, take direct shelter of the Supreme Person of Godhead, who is seated in everyone's heart. So it's a direct instruction that Kapil Muni is giving to her mother. So purport. One can attain direct contact with the Supreme Personality of Godhead in full Krishna consciousness and revive one's eternal relationship with Him as lover, as Supreme Soul, as son, as friend, or as master. One can re-establish the transcendental loving relationship with the Supreme Lord in so many ways, and that feeling is true oneness. Repeat again. One can re-establish the transcendental loving relationship with Supreme Lord in so many ways, and that feeling is true oneness. The oneness of the Mayavadi philosophers and the oneness of the Vaishnava philosophers are different. the Mayavadi and the Vaishnava philosophers both want to merge into the Supreme, but the Vaishnava do not lose their identities. They want to keep the identity of lover, parent, friend, or servant. In the transcendental world, the servant and master are one. That is the absolute platform. Although the relationship is servant and master, both the servant and the served stand on the same platform. That is oneness. Lord Kapila advised his mother that she did not need any indirect process. She was already situated in a direct process because the Supreme Lord had taken birth as her son. Actually, she did not need any further instruction because she was already in the perfectional stage. Kapila Dev advised her to continue in the same way. He therefore addressed his mother as Bhamini to indicate that she was already thinking of the Lord as her son. Devotee is advised by Lord Kapila to take directly to devotional service Krishna consciousness, because without that consciousness, one cannot become liberated from the clutches of Maya. Yes. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Jnanam Jnana Shalakya Chakshumitam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobishtam Sthapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guru Shri Yutapadakamalam Shri Gurum Vaishnavam Sacha Shri Rupam Sagrajatam Sahagana Raghunantam Vitamtam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Saitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shivishakam Vitam Sacha He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopikanta Radha Kanta Namastute Taptakanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Vrishabhanu Satadevi Pranamami Hari Priya Vanchakalpatarubhyascha Kripa Sindhubhyai Vacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhara Sivashadi Gaur Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare 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 Ram, Ram Ram, Hare Hare So, welcome again to this chapter where we can discuss the process of, as explained by Kapil Muni to our mother. But this verse, today's verse, can be is related to the previous one, of course, where Kapil Muni described about the detached yogis, you know, the different. In the previous chapters also we've seen how Kapil Muni been describing the different methods of God realization in the sense that in the beginning, as I mentioned before, last week, that in the 32nd, this chapter, after speaking about returning to the world by Sakama Karma, the Jiva comes back to the world by Sakama Karma and not returning to the world by Nishkama Karma. So that's the point Kapila Muni is emphasizing, that even if we some people, they follow the various dharmas, kama, artha, what's that, kama, dharma, kama, artha, moksha, the main principal goals, ends of normally people follow dharma like that. So even that, even by performing the prescribed activities, but if that is, they have still material desires in their heart, they have to come back in this material, mortal material world. So karma, karma doesn't work if we want to go back home to Godhead. So we have to do devotional service, finish karma, karma. And that was explain the difference between the Prasha Prabhupada in his purport, explaining about the difference between Grihamedis and Girastas. The Grihamedis, the life is centered around self gratification, whereas the Grihastas, they are centered around self realization. And as Kapil Muni is elaborating, he mentions about the different worship. Those who take to the worship of the pitchers and devtas, they go to the heavenly planets, and once their pious activities are over, they fall down again. And again, he mentions that these planets are attained by the dharmic householders. And nevertheless, he mentioned that at the end of the day, the Ananta means the Lord. All these planets are destroyed at Pralay. So the intelligent person, they are able to understand that and try to achieve something that is not temporary. So Kapil Muni described this the foolishness of these people in the sense that they can never attain peace and pure consciousness. So having described this sakama karma, then Kapil Muni, it now describes the nishkam practitioners and stress that the nishkam practitioners, they do not desire the results of their actions. They are unalloyed devotional service, right? They are unattached, nisangaha, and offer the results of their actions to Krishna. Nesta karmana. Then, engrossed in the action of detachment and with this new sense of possessiveness or of ego, their consciousness is purified, and performing their regular prescribed duties in their Grihastha ashram, they attain higher consciousness and higher understanding. And in that way, they're able to go beyond the different lokas and cross the Vraja River and to the spiritual world. So, in comparison to the yogis, the other type of yogis that we have, which are not bhakti yogis, is explained in this in Brahma Samhita that the lotus flower, which is the Goloka Dham, is protected by tridents all over, and that prevent the those people who want to interfere and to enter the Goloka Dham. Those yogis, by their power, those things are by their power, they can travel and enter. So this also protected. They're not unable to go into that. So even if somebody is a detached yogi, conquering the mind and the life airs of his body, and even if able to, they are able to enter Brahma Lok and merge into Brahman effulgence, it's difficult for them to enter into this the Dham. So Kapil Muni also mentions that those people who worship Brahma, the demigods, for instance, they can go, they can attain the loka of the demigods. So if you want worship Brahma, you go to Brahma Lok. You worship Durga, you go to Durga Lok. You worship Shiva, you go to Shiva Lok. And we know that at the end of the Pralaya, everything is dissolved. Prabhupada mentioned that they are unable to grant liberation. You see. Neither Brahma, nor Shiva, nor other demigods can grant liberation, mukti. See, Muktinath, there is a place in Nepal called Muktinath. People go there for liberation, actually. So, mukti, Denewala, this mukti, the one who gives mukti, liberation, is not Brahma, nor Shiva, nor the demigods, no one except Vishnu. Lord Vishnu is the only one awarding the mukti, liberation. I was reading that. I think it is in the previous shloka where I was reading this. So that's why we have to understand that we have to be fixed in our path. Now, and other advice that's a direct instruction Kapil Muni is giving to our mother. To practice devotional service directly. And then, here we can see that Srila Prabhupada is addressing her mother, Kapil Muni is addressing her mother, his mother, as Bhamini. And this word is interesting, this word Bhamini. Bhamini or Bhavini? His mother as Bhamini. You can see that in the last sentence of the shloka. Vraja bhavena bhamini. So if you read the translation of Prabhupada gives word by word, bhavena by devotional service, bhamini, my dear mother. But the way they are addressed, so here Srila Prabhupada, I'm reading from the purport, Srila Prabhupada mentioned that Kapil Muni is addressing his mother as bhamini to indicate that she was already thinking of the Lord as her son. So there is no need for her to go and adopt any other process of self-realization, since the Lord took birth as his son. So it's a direct process. So he just has to think that one has to just think about Krishna. And Mother Devahuti is so fortunate that the Lord is a son. A son. So that bhavna, that just like Srila Prabhupada was mentioning, that we don't have to go and try to acquire and to discover or to revive the eternal relationship with Krishna. Now he's already in the Vatsala Bhava. She is already in the Vatsala Bhava. And that's a recommendation to serve directly as in the Vatsala Bhava. So, although Kapil Muni has been elaborating all these details about the different paths of God realization, and now she's giving. Now he's giving the direct instruction to her mother to worship him as his divine son in the Vatsala Bhav. So, what happens is that she naturally has that bhava. The only thing was to connect was that detachment part. Right, because the father just left, and then like that, he has that still attachment was there, little attachment there. So by listening to Kapil Muni, that attachment is gone, and that pure bhava vasa bhava appears, is manifested. So, and on the other side, we get the teachings as well through this conversation. We understand. Through that conversation of Kapil Muni and devotee, we are able to understand and see the nuances of bhakti, as well as the results that those who are performing the sakama karma, and those who, what happened to them, and those who perform nishkam karma, what happens, what is the destination. So through this conversation, we're able to see and analyze the different aspects of a bhakti, of devotees, of different types of devotees, and non-devotees as well, because we can see the results in the previous chapters and previous verses. So, and he mentioned, and Kapil Muni mentioned that he has this feeling that this teaching that I'm giving to you, but it's a bit useless sometimes, since she is already advanced. Her mother is already advanced in devotional service. So for her, the teachings are actually useless, because the goal of knowledge, the goal of knowledge is not to be knowledgeable. And to we don't Vaishnava community, we don't become knowledgeable. We become knowledgeable, but the goal of knowledge is not to become knowledgeable. The goal of knowledge is to become more humble and to serve Krishna in our original sarup, like Srila Prabhupada mentioned, sarup siddhi, what our original constitutional position in service to Krishna. That's the goal of knowledge to realize. But since in this case, devotee Mata is addressed as Bhamini, so meaning that she is already thinking of the Lord as the Lord, as her son. She already has the Vata Bhav already. So all this knowledge, all these teachings, Kapil Muni is saying, is useless for you, mother. But for us, it's very useful. For the mother, is now mother devotee, it's useless for her. But it's for us, it is very useful. Actually, the teachings and all this knowledge is meant for us, those who are shrota, those who are listening, those who are studying and listening. This whole knowledge is beneficial for us. And Srila Prabhupada mentioned that the end, you see, Prabhupada mentioned, I'm reading, devotees advised by Lord Kapila to take directly to devotional service Krishna consciousness, because without that consciousness, one cannot become liberated from the clutches of Maya. So, Maya, from the clutches of Maya, but this Krishna consciousness, we have explained in Bhagavad Gita 4.11. If you read the Bhagavad Gita 4.11, Krishna says, "Mam eva ye prabhadyante mayam etam tarante te." Let me see this verse, right, where Krishna mentions about those who surrender to me can cross over my Maya. That's the guarantee Krishna is giving to us. So, you see, when the purport, if you see the purport, how Prabhupada elaborates on this. Ye yathamam prapadyante tamastateva bhajanteyam. Mamha vartaman vartante manushya partha saravasha. So, Krishna says, I reward you according to your surrender. Usually, that's the main thing. So, so the meaning of mam eva ye prapadyante mayam etam tarantite. Mayam etam tarantite. So, that's a guarantee that Krishna gives us in the Bhagavad Gita, that we can cross over this ocean of material suffering and Maya. We can be detached. So that's why we have to take to this process very, very seriously. And the other danger is we should not try to imitate. We have a tendency to say, okay, now we can be like I have this. This should be something which is intimate. It's intimately connected to Krishna, so, and revealed by our spiritual master. We should not try to imitate Devahuti or try to imitate Arjun or imitate other personalities. It is said that we should walk in the footsteps of the previous acharyas. And the previous acharyas, they all, if you see, the bhavana, the bhakti, it has been revealed. It reveals accordingly, according to time, and especially by the spiritual master. But there is no, in our tradition, we don't exhibit those bhava. If ever it is internalized, but not externally. It's not being manifested, so we should be very, very careful of not adopting. If we say it's a direct method, he just like this way. He has an instruction being given by coming directly that devotee is in Vatsa Bhav. So we, as devotees, as beginners of Krishna consciousness, we try to follow our rules and regulations and our bhakti and perform our sadhana in such a way that. During due course of time, that particular sarup siddhi which we are and that relationship that we have with Krishna will be revealed accordingly. And if in this lifetime it's manifested, it internalized. It's not something that is we project outside. And most in our tradition, it's like that. So that being said, it's irrelevant to think that we have to imitate a particular bhava, a particular way, in our practice, daily practice of Krishna consciousness. So I'll end here. It's a very short purport and short. So I'll open for discussion and any comments are most welcome. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you very much. No questions from my side. Thank you so much.
But last week also you didn't have
wonderful.
Yes. Last week also you said no questions. I remember very well.
Yes.
You can still comment
put
something.
It so, you put it so succinctly that, there are no doubts remaining. So thank you very much, Prabhu. Hare Krishna.
But you can still add some comment, some elaboration, whatever, from this, realization. You can share something for us that would be good in this connection.
Right. Okay.
You do agree with me about the bhava thing, which is here. We are not in that position of having a direct instruction of being in a particular bhava. You do agree with me on that point, right?
Yes.
Any other person want to add a particular comment or question?
Hare Krishna Prabhuji, please accept my obeisances. All glories to Guru Maharaj and Prabhupada and all the devotees. We all have the direct instructions from Srila Prabhupada, who are follower of the Prabhupada, and everyone to chant Hare Krishna and depend.
That's a very good point that you mentioned, that we all have. Prabhupada would always mention that I'm in my books, and if you read directly, we get direct instructions. Prabhupada is talking to us directly. He will often mention that.
Yes.
Prabhupada, that if you read my books, through my books, I'm talking directly to you. I'm giving you direct instructions from my books. That's why Srila Prabhupada mentioned that my books would be considered to be the law books of Dharma for the next 10,000 years. So that's a very good point you mentioned, Mataji, that we and of course we have our spiritual master, of course, who gives us instructions. And last time I remember a few months ago I mentioned that whenever we meet with our spiritual master, we always we have to always look forward for some direct instructions. We have indirect, and we can serve with our spiritual master with Vapu or Vani. And actually serving the Special Master through Vani is much more powerful than Vapu. And Vapu means the body. We get the chance when the Special Master comes, we get the chance to serve our Special Master physically. But what counts, which is more important, more powerful, is to be able to serve our Special Master instructions, Vani, through Vani. So the basic instructions are elaborated. Mataji just said that we get the direct instruction with Srila Prabhupada as far as the 418 principles are concerned and their chanting is concerned. We have sleep chanting. And all food Prabhupada conversations are recorded. We have I don't know if you know that those conversations used to be in form of books. Now I don't see them, but previously they used to have a whole set of books related to the room conversations. Actually, it was entitled Room Conversations. I don't remember well. But they are like a series of conversations that between Srila Prabhupada and his disciples. And some of them are for morning walks, some of them are room conversations. And then we can, by listening and by reading those, we can get direct circumstantial and direct instructions according to time, circumstance, and place. How Srila Prabhupada is instructing his disciples. Srila Prabhupada will often give different instructions according to different personality, psychophysical nature of the disciple. That's like one disciple will say, okay, you stay here and then manage here, and then other disciple, you go to China, for instance. Last time, I remember once I was explaining one instruction. I was reading that in the Kadeshi. In Unikadeshi, we get this magazine that comes, and nowadays comes by email. I forgot the name of that magazine. There's a story of Guru Gobind Maharaj temple when Prabhupada visited Maharaj in Bhubaneswar. Srila Prabhupada was very eager that Maharaj would translate the Srimad Bhagavatam in Orissa language. Srila Prabhupada came and asked Maharaj, how is the translation going? So, because that's when instruction Srila Prabhupada gave to Maharaj to complete the translation of the Bhagavatam into the local Orissa language. So then Maharaj said, I'm so stuck in the management of the temple, and it's so hard to find time to translate. And so Maharaj Prabhupada said, no, we'll find someone to do the management, and you can be free, more free to translate. So that being said, there was one devotee come from New York, Prabhupada disciple from New York, who was visiting Bhubaneswar temple, and Srila Prabhupada called him. Gave him instruction, so you please stay here and you manage the temple here, so as we can free Guru Gobind Maharaj to translate the Bhagavatam books. Then the disciple said, Srila Prabhupada, I got so many responsibilities in New York there, so if I'm here, so who will take care of that? Then Prabhupada said, we will take care, don't worry, we'll make some arrangement. We'll just stay here, we'll make all the arrangement there, so you don't have to. And then Srila Prabhupada, but here I'm not adjusted with the food and the weather and everything. And the disciples were saying like that, and Prabhupada said, don't worry, we'll teach you all the tricks, how to adjust. We do make everything comfortable for you to how to stay, and the food also will tell you what to eat and what not to eat. Then his disciples say that, Srila Prabhupada, if I'm in manager, I'm able to chant properly and everything like that, something like that. I don't, and I'm not recalling, and I'm recalling this a little bit. But then Prabhupada said, don't worry, you manage well. And then the chanting You say, you just have to stay here. And so the whole idea about the, I don't want to mention the chanting part because it's not, I don't want people to take me wrong when I'm telling about the chanting part. So I'm skipping the chanting part that Prabhupada mentioned. But what I want to emphasize that Srila Prabhupada's instruction is more important than anything. So then finally the disciple had to stay and manage. But that is the important thing. If you see in the old days, the disciples, they didn't have any idea how to perform a Rath Yatra, for instance. They didn't never did that before. They never did things before like that. That's like the BTG, the publication. The devotees in the beginning, they didn't have any previous experience. Nowadays, if you want to apply for a job, you ask for experience. What is your experience? And based on your experience, then they hire you. If you don't have experience in a particular field, they would never hire you. They are based on experience. And people who were in Srila Prabhupada's case, you will see in the movement in the beginning, devotees, they were so sincere and so dedicated to Srila Prabhupada's instruction that even though they didn't have any prior experience in publishing books, in doing all this management work, to be sincere and sincerely following Prabhupada's instructions and trying to please Srila Prabhupada, they were able to achieve so many incredible amount of work and perfection, not only achieving, but perfection. So we can see in our attempt to please and to follow the instruction, a direct, especially I'm talking about direct instruction. If we're in the attempt of following fulfilling the direct instruction of Spiritual Master, we are able actually to attain perfection of bhakti. And even Srila Prabhupada would say that in the last moment, Srila Prabhupada, when his last time in Vrindavan, he was still translating. The whole body became completely the doctor was saying that all the blood became water and the bone was touching the skin. So painful condition, but Srila Prabhupada was still translating Srimad Bhagavatam because this is a instruction that direct instruction that he received, his divine grace received from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati. That you translate the Srimad Bhagavatam into English. So that's why it's very important to follow the instruction of Spiritual Master, especially the direct instructions. And if you perfect your life, and our life will be perfected by simply following the direct instruction of the Spiritual Master. Okay. I think I talked too much on that now. But that's the point. That is the point. And even Kapil Muni, in this case, he's giving a direct instruction to the mother. So we can see that how it is important to receive this type of instruction. Okay, I think this is very well mentioned. And any other devotees who have any question, any comments, are most welcome. Anil Prabhu, you are there?
Yes. Arishna Puji. So Prabhuji, you mentioned Vani is more important than Vapu. So could you elaborate on that?
Usually we will get the chance to serve the Spiritual Master physically, but we don't get the chance to always serve the Spiritual Master physically because the Spiritual Master is traveling and he won't physically. We are in his particular location, geographical location, and we are very often we are not so free that we can always travel with Spiritual Master, especially we are householders and we don't get the chance to serve the Spiritual Master physically. So in that sense, we can serve the Spiritual Master because usually when we cook for our Guru Maharaj, when we massage his feet, it's very personal and we feel lots of mercy. But actually in our tradition, Vani is more powerful in the sense that you can, in separation, you're serving. The whole movement of Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, you see, when Mahaprabhu came, he was always in this mood of vipralamba, of separation. And he will always cry for Krishna. And always, we never say, I attained Krishna. Although he was Krishna in the mood of Radha, but he was teaching us how we should cry for Krishna, how we should hanker for Krishna. Always longing, that longingness will be there in that separation mood. And if you see the Vaishnava bhajans, Bhaktivinoda Thakur and Narottam Das Thakur, they express that mood of separation and service as well. So we always in that mood. Our spiritual master is far away, we hanker for. It's better. How it is better? Because we will be always focused on the instruction and trying to please. Srila Prabhupada was here, lots of these devotees couldn't see him personally, physically. They will receive initiation by post. They will send the mala by mail, and the temple president will give the mala, and the instruction will be there. This is how some of the devotees, some of the Prabhupada disciples, couldn't meet Prabhupada. So, but nevertheless, they were able to associate with Prabhupada, and by performing, the Prabhupada will write letters. Prabhupada will write letters to them, giving them instruction, and Prabhupada will be very caring by knowing, and will be very happy when they will be sending letters back and mention. It's like I remember my Guru Maharaj would always send, when he was in Africa, in Kenya, on Diwali Day, on Jamashtami, he will always send a postcard to Srila Prabhupada, explaining what the situation, and wishing happy Diwali, or wishing that. My Guru Maharaj would always send a postcard for Diwali or for Janmashtami. The interaction by that time was, there's no email at that time, but they were sending the mail. And in that mood, we cultivate a bhava, because you are in separation mood, at the same time you're trying to please the spiritual master. So you are very conscious, you're always in that higher consciousness. When you are trying to follow the instruction, it's more in a subtle level, and then because of that, your mental platform is much more purifying. Your physical platform, physical body is purified physically when the spiritual master, but on the mental platform, your mind is purified by the following of the instruction of the spiritual master, because you're always meditating how to please your spiritual master. You're always meditating, am I following the instruction of my spiritual master? You're always trying your best to follow the instructions. So you're always bothered by that. Am I able to achieve the instruction and following the instruction and get the results what my spiritual master wants me to achieve? So that's your constant botheration, your constant meditation, your constant goal. So in that sense, that's how the instruction of spiritual master is very, very powerful. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Aura Chitetena Kya Arana Kohnimane Asha. When we sing the Guru Puja in the morning, Shobhupada, we always mention that. Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Koriya Ekya Arana Kori Humane Asha. Arana Kori Humane Asha. Aur koi nahi asha hai mere man mein. I don't have any other abhilasha, icha. I don't have any desire than to fulfill the instruction of Guru Mukha. The words emanating from the lotus mouth is a perfection that fulfills all desires. The words emanating from the lotus mouth is a perfection that fulfills all desires. That is it's very sublime. So one, the whatever words emanating from our spiritual master's mouth, whatever words emanating from Srila Prabhupada's mouth, if you take that seriously and try to follow, that will be perfection of all desires. That becomes perfection. And then there will be no other desire in our heart. Can you imagine we become desireless? Desireless means you are serving Krishna completely. That's all. That's a very, very high level of achievement. We're able to do that. To begin to that. How peaceful we'll be, how self-content, how satisfied we'll be spiritually inside when we'll be able to fulfill the desire of our spiritual master, because the desire of our spiritual master is like a desire of Krishna. Shakshad Hritena Samasta Shastra Yukta Shatha Bhavita Sadi Kintu Prabhu Ya Priyavitasya Vande Guru Sri Charanaranindam Shakshad Hritena all the scriptures mention that the spiritual master is Sakshat Hari. You know, is to be considered as Sakshat Hari, as Krishna himself. And that's the instructions emanate directly from Krishna through our spiritual master. So this is a direct instruction from Krishna through our spiritual master to us. And we should really try to live up to that. Okay, Anil Prabhu.
Thank you, Prabhuji. Wonderful. So here, even though it is mentioned direct shelter of Supreme Personality of Godhead, that means through the Guru, right?
Yeah, it's through the Guru. And here, the mother devotee is very lucky because the Guru and Krishna are the same one. Kapil Muni, the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at the same time is the Guru. So she is very well situated in a very nice position where it is physically there. Both Vani and Vapu is there for her. You know.
Thank you. Hare Krishna.
Thank you for asking the question. I always look for questions from you guys every week. Then the class becomes interesting. Any other question? Maribo, Matajis, no question, Matajis, from Matajis. Sharmana, chahiye prashna puchne ke liye.
Hare, thank you for elaborating Prabhupada's instructions. Thank you, Hare Krishna.
Any other question or comments? So we'll see that in the rest of the verses, these six verses that will come from today, we did text 11. So 19. Yeah, they will be discussed there. Here, Kapil Muni will criticize these people who practice sakam karma. Even they perform it nicely. Kapil Muni will criticize on them how their minds are affected by passion and desire. How the artha, especially the artha kama type. You know, they're already interested and get stuck in the samsara. That would be interesting to see that. Yeah. That will be the following six verses coming. So I think if you guys don't have any questions and comments, we will end here.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, Dana Pranam.
Yes, Mataji.
I have one comment. When you were telling in the class, means our goal is not to get the knowledge, means our goal to become a humble devotee, means servant, the servant. That was very nice, Prabhu. Thank you so much for a wonderful class.
Thank you. Yeah, because we are very lucky to have access to so many scriptures and Vaishnava literatures. But our approach to study Vedic literatures is not to be knowledgeable, to claim ourselves to be knowledgeable. The goal is to surrender. And that's our objective. The objective is to surrender. That's why Krishna says in this chapter 4, text 11, what I mentioned, Ye yathamam prabhajante tamasateva bhajamayaham. Yeah, bhajante. So, Krishna doesn't see that whether you are very knowledgeable or not. That doesn't concern him. He's had nothing to do. What he wants us is the love, the bhava, that will come through surrender. So the objective of knowledge actually is to surrender, to become more humble and more And an example given in Shastra is like a mango tree. If a mango tree is full with fruits, full of mangoes, what happens to the tree? The tree will go, will always bow down. The tree will bow down, become more humble. And that is the symptom of somebody who is very knowledgeable, very humble. People who are very knowledgeable, they're very, very, very humble. So that's to be really taken into account. Our knowledge is a culmination of knowledge is service, seva, devotional service. That's a real thing. Although we know about ado, shadha, tatha, sindhu, sadhu, sangha, tatha, bhajana, kriyaha, tatha, nartaha, nivritti, tatha, nishtaha, ruchis, tatha. We know that thought in the beginning that we have like a shadha, vihata, faith. And with faith, we get association with sadhu sangha. With sadhu sangha, we are engaged, through the association of devotees, we are engaged in bhajana kriya by doing devotional service. We know that. But up to us coming to the stage of bhajana kriya, we had to become humble. We had to develop that level of knowledge that will make us do bhajana kriya. Who will accept to wash the pots and Sunday feast and clean it nicely so much? Unless you have certain level of realization and knowledge, unless you have knowledge, then you can do that. Naturally, some people, they already have that power of service, bhava. But you will see, I don't want to mention where, but you will see that some people don't have that feeling of service or doing something, and they are more inclined to listening to class and to others. But after listening to that, devotional service is something that you have to put your hands in the door. You have to become practical. You have to be physical devotional service. In the beginning, sadhana bhakti is more, in the beginning, it's physical devotional service. And then gradually, you make progress. You know, so the point is, the whole bottom line is, we've been utilizing this body of us before being devotees. People, not everyone is so fortunate to be born in a Krishna conscious family. But before that, before we become Krishna conscious, we've been utilizing this body in sense gratification. But now, through the power of physical devotional service, we are purifying this body. Right? When that understanding of purification is, it goes side by side. Means knowledge at the same time, we're reading Bhagavad Gita, at the same time we're practicing bhakti physically. So the point is, if you want to better understand Bhagavad Gita, you have to practice physical devotional service. That's why when I was 12 years old, I used to read Vivekananda books, Tonics of the Soul. And he mentioned there that you can learn the Bhagavad Gita better on a sukha ground. I bet I couldn't understand that point. When he mentioned that, how can we learn Bhagavad Gita on a sukha ground? Play by playing. That is what he was meaning, that you understand the purpose of the Bhagavad Gita when you're physically engaged in devotional service. But it's only by reading Srila Prabhupada's books and being Krishna, and then I realize, now I'm realizing what he wrote in that book, that instruction about how can you can better understand Bhagavad Gita or why playing soccer or something like that. So what I mean is, we can actually, there's a difference. Topic that I'm talking about is the difference between jnana and vijnana. There's a difference between knowledge and Vigyan. Is what is Vigyan? Anybody? Are you bold?
What is
Vigyan?
Realized knowledge.
Yeah, realized knowledge. So there is difference between knowledge and realized knowledge. So what our tradition, when we are devotees, we don't have bookish knowledge. We don't have bookish knowledge, like repeat whatever is written there, we're repeating. No, we don't. We devotees don't have bookish knowledge. Devotees are the practicing devotees. They have realized knowledge. Whatever the sloka, whatever the knowledge that we are studying, It's a realized knowledge because we realize them. We imbibe them. How? By performing physical devotional service, by following the instructions of Srila Prabhupada, by following the instructions of our spiritual master. Then we realize this knowledge. So we are talking about realized knowledge, not even knowledge, bookish knowledge. And by this level of realized knowledge, we are able to surrender. A surrendering process is not overnight or one day. It's a long process. It's a gradual process. And Srila Prabhupada and Bhagavad Gita says this Krishna conscious process is a gradual process of self-realization. So as we study, as we're practicing, we're making gradual progress in Krishna consciousness. We are aiming at attaining this perfection of state of Krishna consciousness one day by the guidance, under the guidance of our spiritual master, of course. Okay, I think it's
8:21. Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have one question. Can you explain what is the gradual process? Because sometimes devotee and some people think it's a gradual process. We don't need to so much of in bhakti. It will happen. Means, can you explain more about the gradual process?
Yeah, it's not like that things happen by themselves. We can lay back and stay back and say, oh, things will happen. Or we stay in our comfort zone and say, okay, you know, I'm happy now. I'm satisfied. These are two dangers. Two dangers in that mood is, one is to be in a mood of complacency, to feel comfort. And I'm fine where I'm here. And the other one is, one is complacency to be satisfied. And the other one Anil Prabhu, I said something else. Can you remember? I said too fast. You don't remember?
Sorry.
I tried to rethink again. So I was saying that there's two dangers. One is to sit back. Right? To sit back is... there's two dangers. One is to think that, oh, it will happen by itself. Yeah. And then complacency to sit back. So there's two things. So we can think like, things will happen by itself. By itself. It will happen by itself. And the second danger is to sit back and to be in state of complacency. So gradual process of Krishna consciousness, the development of Krishna consciousness, doesn't mean these two. So when we are talking about gradual process of development, it should be in respect with perfecting our sadhana bhakti. For instance, example, if I am chanting my rounds, okay, so as basically Srila Prabhupada will explain that in the beginning we are chanting with offenses. Okay, so it's offensive stage of chanting because we are chanting always offense. Now, there's 10 that's nama prado ten, whatever we're talking every day, we recite the 10 name offenses, all personal name, and then we have seva aprad. We have, and then the worst one is Vaishnava prad. Three types of offenses. Okay, we have nama prad, seva aprad, and Vaishnava prad. So, in the first stage of chanting, we are chanting in the offensive stage. The second stage of chanting is clearing stage. We have been cleared of these offenses, the clearing stage. And then the third stage of chanting is bhava stage, where we're chanting with bhava, with emotion for Krishna. So the gradual process of chanting means that in the beginning I'm trying to concentrate on, while I'm chanting, I'm trying to concentrate on not performing those 10 offenses. You see? And then when I'm doing my devotional service, I am trying to focus on not performing seva aprad. So while I am practicing my physical devotional service, by performing this, I burn bridges, for instance. Suppose I had to serve my spiritual master and I had to cook something in the kitchen, but I didn't ask permission with the head cook. And just enter the kitchen, I disturb the devotees, and I just take things away and put things like that and quickly I just went and give it to my special master. Just because I had to serve my special master, I caused so much unnecessary disturbance to other Vaishnavas in the kitchen. An example I'm giving. So that is a seva aparad. We can do our service but to please our special master, but what did we do? How did we do the service? We did it, although we pleased, maybe the cook, maybe the prasad was cooked nicely and special master was happy, but how did they achieve that result? In what mood? In the mood of passion, in the mood of ignorance, in what mood? We were in mode of passion, and being in mode of passion, we burn bridges and make committing offenses to all the Vaishnava devotees, and we commit seva aparad. So that is to be watched, how I am performing my physical devotional service day to day, and how that is a gradual development. So maybe one day I'm performing my devotional physical devotional service with more ignorance and passion, and forcing myself, oh, I don't want to do that. I don't want to chant today. Oh, I'm forcing myself to chant. Someday I'm chanting nicely. So we have different moods. So we can analyze like that. Okay, gradually, I don't want to be performing my devotional service in the mode of passion or in ignorance. I want to perform my devotional in the mode of goodness. So I'm trying hard. So from my side, I'm making an effort to try to perform my devotional service in the mode of goodness. So if I want to perform my devotional service in the mode of goodness, then I will try to create that atmosphere and to guard myself against committing those seva aparad so as I can perfect my service. And that is gradual process of perfecting devotional service. So when I'm trying to work it out towards perfection. So in that mood, we will not be, we'll be saved from either that mentality of things will happen by itself and staying back and mode of complacency and being mechanical in devotional service. The state of complacency is like mechanical. It becomes like second nature. Because if you do something for a long time, it becomes second nature. It can become mechanical. But with that emotion, without the mood of service Krishna, it will become mechanical. And with offenses also, it will become mechanical. So that's why we have to be very conscientious about what we do in Krishna consciousness. How are we performing our devotional service? You see, that's a gradual development. So gradually we will develop and then we'll make. And then the second part of it, that's the first part. The second part of it is to step out of our comfort zone. Maybe just like, for instance, maybe after distributing books for a long time, example, and I'm used to distribute books for a long time, for example, I'm not, but I'm giving an example. I'm Pujari, so I'm just giving an example. So if I have contacts in a particular place, and I know that person every year for the book marathon, Gita marathon, every year this person is sponsoring Bhagavad Gita for his motto. So for me, it's easy. I'll just go every year. I'll just go there, and then he will give me a check, and then he will take the books. Every year he does that. So that's my book distribution, and that's my comfort zone because I already established that contact, and it's already happening. So I'm not making any extra effort to distribute the books. Same for collection money. So every day, every month, every festival, the Janmashtami, or Gol Purnima, these people, they are our regular donors. They give the money. But I'm not making any extra effort to have more other people who doesn't use to give the money to serve Krishna, to get the money from Krishna to serve for Janmashtami. So that's the stay back complacency. That's where our devotional attitude is spoiled and stopped. We can't make gradual process in Krishna consciousness like that. We can make gradual gradual progress in increasing our ego, gradual progress in increasing other obstacles of devotional service. But we are not making gradual progress to remove those obstacles from devotional service. by acting in a mode of complacency in that way. If you don't step out of your comfort zone and go out of your way and to make somebody Krishna conscious or to serve what our service is. I think I elaborated on that. Haribol? Haribol, Haribol. You guys are still there?
Yes, Prabhu. Thank you so much. I mean, so we, as much as possible, we try to avoid the offenses and make your chanting. Our chanting is the grade of chanting, means Nama Prad and clearing stays like that. By avoiding the offenses. Yeah, thank you, Prabhu.
Not only on chanting, but on seva also. Suppose if you're cooking in the kitchen with other devotees, in the kitchen, usually our Krishna conscious, it's a kitchen religion, we say, because we cook a lot. So when you are dealing with other devotees in the kitchen and doing your service, we have to, you know, one thing that helped me, I'm telling you, I'm sharing with you. That's why I like to have discussion, so as I can share and help you guys. One thing that helped me in the beginning, when you are so stressed, because at times in the beginning here, in our we didn't have much pujaris, and we were stressed doing service. And at times, when you become stressed, you become frustrated, and you take all your frustration on other people, you know. And I was at times I've been through those things. These are things that I learned. This is a life lessons I'm sharing. So I used to get upset and very I take my frustration on somebody. I'll be angry or something like that. So then I start thinking myself, say, if I continue like that, I'll burn bridges. I'll get sick. I'll get sick myself, and I'll burn bridges. And I'll start remembering. Then say, in this situation, how would my spiritual master act? Instead of me acting, but we say in theory that if I'm serving the Lord on the altar, I am doing on the behalf of my spiritual master. In theory, we say, right? I'm representing my spiritual master, and I'm performing this service on behalf of my spiritual master. So, if that is true, how would your spiritual master perform the service? How would your spiritual master, ask yourself, how would your spiritual master be acting in a particular situation? And then act. So before we react to a particular situation, we should try to meditate how our spiritual master would be have tackled this situation, how our spiritual master would have been acting in this particular situation. Then we will really carry the instruction of the spiritual master by saying that, oh yes, I'm meditating on my spiritual master, I'm following his instruction, I'm a representative, I'm a bona fide representative of my spiritual master. And you will see that will help you to prevent seva prad, meaning and Vaishnava prad. And you make gradual progress in Krishna consciousness while you do service and interacting with other devotees. Haribol?
Yes, Prabhu, it's very, very helpful. That's why we need all the senior devotees' association, because we are very mature and we act in that way. Yeah. Thank you so much, Prabhu.
Haribol. Any other question? So, Shyamagauri Mataji, I think nobody has questions. It's already 8:30, so we finish here, or what's the situation? Haribo?
Hare Krishna Prabhu, we can end the class if there is no question or comment.
Samadhi was talking something.
Huh?
If there is nobody?
I was saying, yes, Prabhu, yes. We can finish. We can conclude. Thank you very much. Hare Krishna.
Okay. Okay, Vanchaka Parasraksha Parasraksha Pitanam Pavana Bhyo Vaishnav Bhyo Namo Namaha. Thank you for listening and for the discussion. We'll see you all next week. Hari Bol.
Hare Krishna. Thank you.
Hare Krishna.